So there's a Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai regarding when is the new year for trees? When is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? In other words, everyone agrees Tu B'Shvat is the 15th day of the month of Shvat. Two is the numerical value. Tes plus Vav equal 15. In fact, in Germany, it was never called Tu B'Shvat. Maybe that's an North American thing. It was called Chamish Asar B'Shvat, the fifth. So Tu B'Shvat is the 15th of Shvat, but there's a Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. When is the Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? Beis Shammai says it was 2 weeks ago. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, that was Tu B'Shvat. That's Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. And Beis Hillel says, no, it's Tes Vav Shvat. So the Gemara says, what's the reason for Beis Shammai? What does Beis Shammai say? And you would think it's strange, a new year for trees, you expect it in the springtime, not in the heart of the winter, when it's snowing, it's freezing, everything looks like it's dying out there, not growing. So what kind of time is this for Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? So Beis Shammai, and again, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, so I guess the weather isn't that bad. But so Beis Shammai says, when Rov Gishamim fall, when the majority of rain falls in the land of Israel, the majority of the rain that's going to fall for the year, so on Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the time, is the general's mind when we already had the majority of the rain fall. And therefore, and now things could start growing now. You have the rain, the machine set in motion, we got the rain, now everything else will move to the next step. The Gemara doesn't give the reason for Beis Hillel. However, the Meiri does. The Meiri says, no, we wait, you know what, it's Tes Vav we wait for, because that's when the sap inside the tree starts growing, start moving around. The tree actually, we don't see it, but that's when the tree starts. In fact, I think there's this Chinese tree, maybe it's a bamboo tree, I'm not sure, where you plant it the first year, nothing happens, literally. Second, third, and fourth, a tiny drop happens. And the fifth year, it grows like 80 feet high, 100 feet high, something like that. So so Beis Hillel says that's when the sap in the tree starts growing. So what's this machlokas here, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, on whether Rosh Hashanah Lilanos is on Rosh Chodesh Shvat or on Yud Daled? So there's a general debate. There's a general issue between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in general. We'll give a couple examples. But Beis Shammai is someone who looks at potential. He looks at the potential and he sees, okay, if we have the potential for something, it's like it's here right now. It's like we're there. And Beis Hillel lives more in Olam Hazeh, more in reality. That, you know, they say, Bereishis Baruch Shamayim Ve'Sa'aretz, that, you know, Shamay, Shamayim, that he's living up in the heavens. Midas Hadin, the way it should be. And Beis Hillel is more Midas Harachim, you know, like Beis Shammai, the stern parent, a grandparent, who like expects perfection from the kid, takes out the belt and gives them pachis. And Beis Hillel is the one who gives out the candy and chocolate, puts on your lap, and etc. So that's the impression, because this Beis Shammai is a captain, because someone who only looks at life at potential, that you only see the lack of potential, because usually people don't lead up to the potential. And Beis Hillel deals with reality. So a classic example is Chanukah. We know there's a major machlokas in the Gemara between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai regarding the Seder, the order of candles. So we're familiar with Beis Hillel from 1 to 8. But Beis Shammai says 8 to 1. 8, 7, 6, etc. So what's in the Kudus Hamachlokus? So Rav Zev and others explain, even though he doesn't explain this one per se, but again, it's the same issue. Beis Shammai says you look at potential. On day one, there's a potential for eight. The oil has potential for 8 days. The miracle, the oil, after your second day, the potential is limited. It only could go 7 days and six and five. And Basil says, no, we go with the reality. Wow, the oil lasted 1 day. Wow, the oil lasted 2 days. Wow, the oil lasted 3 days. He deals in the reality of Olam Hazeh, how it's happening in the reality. So B'Efa Beis Hillel says you go from 1 to 8. And Beis Shammai says you go from 8 to 1. Because again, it's the same issue. Beis Shammai looks at potential. Once the majority of rain has fallen, okay, that's all I need to know. And Beis Hillel says, no, we got to see something actually happening, like the sap in the tree growing. And same thing by Chanukah, that 8 to 1, you look at potential reality. There's another machlokas. One of the mitzvahs we do after Shabbos is Havdalah. So, and part of the mitzvah of Havdalah is we make a Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. We make a blessing over the fire. So actually, we make Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. That is the opinion of Beis Hillel. But Beis Shammai says Borei Ma'or Ha'esh in the singular. Beis Hillel makes the blessing the way we do it in the plural. And Beis Shammai makes the bracha in the singular. So what's the nakuda? So the issue is, because Beis Hillel looks at reality. Like you see all these different types. It's red, it's orange, it's red, it's a little yellow. I don't know, different flames, different colors. There are many different things going on. But Beis Shammai looks at the root of the age. It all comes from one, it's one root. It's one fire. It's the once you get the potential, that answers everything. So, you have another machlokes regarding tuma. Like they talk about at what point when a fisherman is catching fish, and he has them in the net, but they're still in the water. He hasn't pulled them out of the water yet, or let's say they're still alive, but they're in the net. You know, either way. So basically, Beis Shammai says, it's over. We view them as they're ready ochel already. They're like food now. And Beis Hillel says no, until they actually, you know, until you actually get them out and they die and that, then you know, then we, in other words, there's a question regarding certain halakhas. At what point are they labeled ochel or not in terms of law? When you're a baal chai, you don't become tamei. So there's a law. So it's just a technical machlokes. But the issue is, Beis Shammai looks at the once you're in the net, that's it. Okay, it's over. And Beis Hillel says, no, you got to wait for the reality. So Rav Zevin, I think, has 8-10 different examples of this, but it's the same concept that basically Beis Shammai looks at potential. And we know the danger, you know, a person who's, as we say, you know, perfection is the enemy of good. Someone who's always looking for perfection in Olam Hazeh, being a perfectionist probably is not a good thing. And that's what, so therefore, that's why even though we say in Kabbalistic circles, when Mashiach comes, we'll pass in like Beis Shammai, because then maybe we'll be on their level. Now we have to live in reality of Beis Hillel. And in fact, that's why I always say, what is the best day of one's vacation? So I like saying it's the day before you go. Why? Because everyone has this itinerary, you make up about 100 things you're going to do on your vacation. And whoever, if you get to 10 of them, 20, 50, 60, you're never going to get to all. So the day before you go, in your mind, you have the potential, you think you're going to, that's the happiest time of the vacation. Like it's the anticipation, like you're all familiar with the Heinz ketchup commercial, that with the guy, woman, whoever, pouring the bottle and waiting for the Heinz ketchup to come out. And they're saying, anticipation, it's making me wait. In other words, the anticipation of it coming out is greater than the actual taste of the ketchup. All the fancy restaurants know that. The restaurants that are fast food, what do? They have your food out in 2 minutes and you're sitting on your gun. The restaurants that charge you $500, if they let you finish in 20 minutes, you'll say, what? I'm getting ripped off. So they have to, it's the ambiance. They take so very long to bring the food out. Everything's pushed off because the anticipation of the meal, a lot of times it's greater than the meal itself. Like, or we could use the jelly bean example. Like there were two people, you know, fighting over how do you eat the jelly beans? Do you save the best for last? Or do you eat the ones you like? If your favorite is cherry or lemon, do you save that for the end? Or do you eat it right away? So pasta is a simple. So the person who says he eats what he wants right away, he says, I'm always eating the best. You're always eating the worst. I'm eating my number one choice. When that's gone, the next number two becomes number one. I'm always eating my favorite. You're never eating your favorite, maybe until the end. So it sounds good at first glance, but what's the answer? At least the answer for me, because I saved the best for last, is the truth, because the anticipation of having that at the end is greater than the taste of the jelly bean anyway. So the anticipation of something is when you do. And that's why, in fact, and that's the people, because the problem is if you focus too much on potential, then you don't work on what you really need to work on to be successful.
It seems to me that, for example, a very good example, I think, fast food versus a fancy dinner, restaurant.
Exactly. The difference between $10 and $200, yeah.
Yes, that too. But one is you have instant gratification, the other you have delayed gratification. We could argue which is better,
Right, in fact, I'll get you reminded me about the Stanford study. First, I wanted to give you a baseball example. As spring training should be opening up in a couple of weeks, I don't know now with COVID what's going on, but it's next week is February. That's when they usually get spring training. So there's a story with one of the. I think it was Mel Stottemeyer. He used to pitch on the Yankees. But anyway, it's not important. The details, the yisod will be. Someone became a Hall of Fame pitcher. So years after he retired, someone asked him, so what do you think the main reason? Like, who was your main mentor? Like, what was some good advice you got? Like, he said, you know what? I'll tell you. When I was a rookie, my first year in baseball, so I forget whoever his coach was. So he said, tell me, what is your best pitch? My best pitch was my fastball. Okay. What's your second best pitch? The curveball. What's your third best pitch? The slider. What's the fourth best pitch? The changeup. We'll stop right here. That's enough pitches. So he said, okay, so tell me, in spring training, what are you going to be working on? Which pitch? He said, well, I guess I'll be working on my changeup, my, slider. It's not that good. He said, let me tell you a secret. It's never going to be that good. You know what you should be working on? You should be working on your fastball. If you're going to make it in this league, it's going to be on your fastball. And therefore, don't work on the pitches you're not good at. You have to learn to maximize what you're good at. You have to focus on the fastball. And that's the issue. So people make a big mistake. They focus on weaknesses, whether it's instead of the strengths. In fact, that's like a basketball example. I don't know if you heard of Shaquille O'Neal or whatever. He was a big 7-foot basketball player who was Shaq, you know him, so he's an all-star, so I don't know if you know him, but you heard of him. So he was a He was a terrible foul shooter. His percentage was very low. And sometimes people, it was called hack-a-shack. You used to foul him to make him go on the line. But the point being is, like, so what is he, like, he's never going to be a good foul shooter. You know, maybe he'll improve a little bit, you know, like from 30% to 40% or 50%, but that's not his strength. His strength is, has to be on the inside game. So that's the mistake people work. Sometimes you worry too much about the potential, Paul. You know, maybe I could get this better. You got to focus on your strength. That's how you become better. And this time about the delayed gratification remind me of the Stanford study. It was done, that there was a study done where, I think it was called the marshmallow study, but feel free to put in the cookie study, the
jelly bean study.
The what?
Jelly bean study.
Yeah, jelly bean, muffins, chocolate. You put in your favorite treat, whatever, to that study.
I think it was called the marshmallow.
It was called the marshmallow, but I'm saying you could change it to any food you want, but it was called the marshmallow study. So what happened was, I think it was actually for kids, but we know we're just adult kids now. I forget the age group, but it was like maybe between 7 and 14. I don't know, I forget the actual age group, but it was done. And what was the study? Is that they put a marshmallow in the room with you. They put the kid in the room. They had a double glass, so you could see the kid, but he thought he was alone. And they said, here's the deal. We're leaving you a marshmallow on this plate. If you don't touch this marshmallow, if you don't eat it, for 5 minutes, we'll give you a whole pack of marshmallows after this time period. Okay, so certain people, so you see it. So the one kid, like, he sits there 30 seconds, a minute, okay, and he just eats the marshmallow. He can't. Another one waits 2 minutes, he gets the marshmallow. 3 minutes. Others are a little more nuanced. They look around, they start licking the bottom of the marshmallow, put it back down, they'll pick on it. Everyone has their own mahalach. So, okay, the bottom line is the study was, then. That was it. Then they follow these kids around for the next, whatever, 20 years, whatever it was. So what was the point of the study? The point of the study was that self-control and some discipline is the key to success. To those who went after the immediate pleasure and couldn't delay gratification, so they weren't, you're not going to go too far in life. Every time you have a desire, you just got to jump on it that second.
Yeah.
You're not going to be, you won't be successful in anything, job, life. So the effort, and in fact, that's the whole idea, one of the ideas of kashrus, that you can't just go ahead and go into any store, pick out something and eat it. You know, that's the concept of a bracha, but it reminds me of a story in, I like to say it was in ShopRite in the upstate New York, and there was someone, you know, like this, their supermarkets put the treats right in front by the cash register. It's not coincidental. They know either people are going to want to, you know, they're waiting online. Okay, let me just eat a chocolate bar. Let me get this. And not only that, but they know you have kids, so the kids will want it. And they figure you'll cave into the kids' pressure because you'll feel embarrassed, the kids screaming. So there's a story, let's say, this person was in line with his, it was this woman. She was in line with her son, and let's say she was in front of me. And let's all, and the kid's going crazy, like he's picking at every chocolate bar, every candy there, and the mother's trying to get him away. So all of a sudden she screams at him, Tyrone, it's not kosher. So she didn't look to be Jewish, let's say. So whatever, so I said to her, I said, you mean, oh, are you Jewish? Like, you mean it's not kosher? She says, no, I'm not Jewish, but I see all the Jewish mothers screaming at their kids and it works on them. I figured I'd try it on my kid. So the point being is that you taught at a young age self-control, and therefore that's the marshmallow study. But that's the concept that, you know, what?
But tell me that the children who eat the marshmallow first, are they the followers of Hillel or Shammai? I think they're the followers of Hillel because they look, they believe that the Yetzer is already before them, and they
feel the what?
Looking for potential.
No, that's Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai's potential, Beis Hillel's reality.
The kids who wait until a half an hour has gone by so they can get their package of marshmallows, they're the ones who are looking for potential, and they are the followers of Hillel.
No, Beis Shammai is this. We could tie it into the marshmallow in a second, but if we get the marshmallow, that Beis Shammai always looks at the root of it, the potential. Therefore, once the majority of the water came down, so we view it like it's Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Beis Hillel is more in reality. So you're saying Beis Hillel's people would have waited. You're saying, I'm not comparing, you know, I'm saying, because, oh, the potential, it's here already, so now I could eat, I don't have to wait. I'm saying, you know, whether we could compare the marshmallow study or not, you know, in terms to Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, but the point being is, it's people have the, you know, I'm assuming Shammai could delay the gratification also. I don't want to be mean Beis Shammai that they'd be eating the marshmallow. But the point being is that in terms of success in life, you have to be able to show self. That's the yesod of Judaism, but the yesod of kashrus as well. And that's the whole concept of Tu Bishvat in the middle of the winter. The sap growing, it's a time of renewal. It's a time where, and especially now during COVID-19 going on for a year, people are locked up, not being able to get out. Things are looking bleak, but we have to, you know, we have to believe that as bad as things are now, that, you know, that things are going to get better shortly. And that's why, in fact, it says, and they compare Adam ki eitz hasadeh, that Adam, man's compared to a tree. In other words, a tree, what do they say? A tree, like, the man's like an upside down tree. A tree is the roots are in the ground and the branch grows to heaven. But a man, a human, the roots are in Shamayim, and, you know, and they live on the earth in terms of, in effect, that's why, in fact, what's the difference between, let's say, a tree and a vegetable? There's many differences. You know, Eitz Chaim Hi, we compare, you know, the tree of life is because the vegetable, every year you have to replant, and when you replant, you got to cut off the tree, you make it fresh again. But a fruit, in theory, it grows every year. You just go in and pluck it. So that's the yesod. Is when it comes to the Torah is compared to tree, man, because tree is that you're only as strong as your roots are. If you put in strong roots in the tree, and then it's going to grow, and then everything inside. That's the Torah. Eitz Chaim Hi is we're based on tradition, on Masorah. And Judaism is always passing it on from one generation to another. So there's also, so that's the symbolic meaning of, you know, of Tu Bishvat, we always go back to our roots as well, because it's referring to man and fruits as well. Is always that's the tradition of the Torah, that we go back and we always go back to our roots and we go back to Maimon Har Sinai, and that's And that's to renew on Tu Bishvat, and no matter how bleak and how desperate it looks outside in the dead winter, everything dying, ultimately behind the scenes, things are growing. It's an Azariah. And when the papers are saying the pandemic is at its worst, it's really probably starting to get better, because that's a delayed reaction, because it's 2 weeks behind already. When, you know, by that time, you know, things are getting a little better by then.
Very good.